This is the podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words the podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow the podcast on Twitter as @thepodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 88. Call us at 856-677-8559. Show complete. The code for Game of Thrones is 6D2CG minus 637W.Z325XT.
Hey, this is John in Washington D.C. and I'm a little PO'd.
And this is Tech. I honestly probably should be in the hospital at this point. I have an ice pack on my chest as I'm driving. I know it'll come as a shock to our regular listeners that I'm driving in such a condition, but. Oh, Lord, I'm in so much pain. I'm hopped up on goofballs right now. Tell me, did I mention on the quickie we did with the injury?
I don't think you did mention that. What happened? Did one of your death rays backfire and bust up while you're shooting it?
Yeah, that's the danger with death rays. They're not exactly directional until you get the homing crystals that are only carried by people with fantastic 80s hair. Much more mundane. I was just attempting to kick some wires underneath the desk, so I lifted the desk, and unfortunately the desk was a crappy 350-pound piece of crap plasterboard, where it's more glue than wood. So I heard a pop in my chest and then felt a pain, and my very first thought was, oh crap, I'm not 20 anymore. So I am in the pain. I have all of the pain.
You have the monopoly on pain in this conversation. I will remember that. Okay. I'm sorry that you're in pain, Tech, but so is the Republican Party. They are also in pain. I'm sorry. That's not fair. About 70% of the Republican Party is in pain today, but 30% is going, we're going to make America great again. Part of the job, following the politics, I listen to the Rush Limbaugh program a lot, and I know a lot of my liberal friends are freaking out at just the thought of listening to Rush Limbaugh, but I got to tell you, you need to know what's going on both sides. You can't just listen to NPR and watch The Daily Show. You're not going to get a holistic view of where people are. Now, if you listen to the Rush Limbaugh program, you would know that he doesn't endorse people during primaries. That's been his rule for 30 years now. But he was hinting very strongly that you should vote for a conservative and that Trump is not a conservative. That's what he was telling his listeners and would call Trump people Trumpsters. Well, he got several calls of people calling in, and there would be concerned people going, I really hope people vote for somebody that you want them to. You know, like a real conservative, and not for somebody who's not a real conservative. And he would graciously try to agree with them without acting overt. And then a Trump person would call in and go, you gotta stop calling us names. Trump is the best hope for being Hillary. The Trump people all talk, we'll like this. It's like, okay, every Trump call coming in was like that.
These two candidates, Trump and Hillary, and honestly, the deck is stacked against Bernie. Even if there aren't electoral shenanigans, which it sounds like there are electoral shenanigans happening.
Let's do a little breakdown on some of the electoral shenanigans. Just a quick aside. Don't forget your place, Tech. will jump right back to you. But yes, there's been a lot of little shenanigans, like closing down voting areas or only having one or two workers at the polling area in a Bernie-heavy area, a very guerrilla tactic of gerrymandering, very physical gerrymandering that the Hillary acolytes did. And let's not forget about an entire college lying to its students, telling them, you don't need to register to vote anywhere but here, and giving them fake voting IDs that are worthless, that they took to the polls and were told that's worthless, because it was. Who typically wanted to vote from that campus? Bernie supporters. And let's not forget about the polling machines used all over New York in areas that Hillary just swept. And who did people have trouble voting for on the touch screens? Bernie Sanders. They push him and push him and push him. There is video out there, lots of video of people trying to push those stupid things, and the Bernie Sanders part's not going. Who makes those? Hillary's friends. Hillary's billionaire friends. All right, go ahead. What are you saying about the Hillary Trump?
So you have a very interesting thing where these two candidates have a higher, together, they are both higher than 60% polling negatively. In other words, if you grab 10 people on the street, you're only going to find 4 out of the 10 that don't hate these people. And so it's not just us. And and you and I have agreed, you know, we're never going to use an insult, a female-based insult against Hillary, because that just plays into the whole, oh, you're just attacking her because she's a woman. It's like, no, there is plenty of substantive things to not like about her. Just like there are even more substantive things not to like about Trump. So, it's absolutely right now.
This whole election is crazy, nuts, bonkers, and I'm so infuriated at the thought of people. One thing, people are just writing off. They're writing off Bernie completely, and Bernie has beat the crap out of Hillary in the popular vote. Most of these places he's won, Hillary just takes the delegates. He'll beat the crap out of her in the popular vote, and then the delegates just go to Hillary. And then, of course, we have all the shenanigans. We have everything that happened in, New Mexico, I think, was the most ridiculous one, where the people were waiting a mile out there. If there is some justice in the Democrat Party, which I don't think there is, and I the Democrat Party has really shown themselves to be just a corrupt bunch of criminals. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Hillary Clinton, just the most corrupt you could possibly be. And the Republicans have shown themselves to be wookies, just complete cowards. The whole thing.
Now, the Republicans have shown themselves to be as completely inept and as unfocused as they possibly can be.
I really think it's childishness. I think it's cowardice. I mean, look at what was supposed to happen. Look what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to stay in to have a contested election. They knew they might lose yesterday night. They knew they might lose yesterday night. That was a thing that might happen. Kasich knew he was going to lose, and Cruz knew it was a possibility. The whole thing was they needed to get enough of the later delegates so that they could block Trump from getting to 1237 before the primary, or God damn it, what is that called? Not primary. The
conference. conference.
Yeah, that would before the RNC conference. And that's the whole thing they were trying to do. The fact that Ted Cruz, and now has Kasich officially, did he officially pull out too? Because he was our last crazy hope.
No. He said he's staying in, and honestly, he should, because even with Trump's cinching, there's still the value of the dissenting vote. In other words, if you're Republican voting in the primary, and you want to send a message that, hey, I'm not a fan of Trump, then, yeah, it's good that his name is still going to be on the ballot. Rubio is still polling higher than in most of the places because Kasich, because it's...
Well, this is a question, too. What about some of these guys that have gone out of the race? Can some of these guys jump back in and say, screw this, I'm taking California, and Rubio jumps back in the race? Is that a possibility?
There's a lot of terminology. When you notice they don't say we're stopping our campaign, we're dropping out or whatever. They always say pausing or putting on hiatus the campaign, it has to do with how the money flows. If the campaign is completely stopped, the money has to be returned, it's not spent, things like that. But I think there's probably people who are still technically running for president in 2008 at this point.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, one of my friends, shut up, robot. Doggone it. Tech, tell this robot to shut up. I know you speak their language. Kill all humans. Yes, master. The very frustrating, I had a great little rant last night because one of my friends said, Trump has zero chance of winning, which means we're looking at President Clinton. I said, okay, well, we're freaking about Bernie Sanders. And he says, Bernie Sanders also has zero chance. So you're looking at President Clinton no matter what, and she'll get impeached in the first year, and then, to use his exact words, she'll be impeached in no time, and then we'll be dealing with whoever the mystery vice president is. And I said, okay, two huge problems with the last part of that statement. For one thing, impeachments aren't an in-no-time situation. Impeachments take a long time and a lot of taxpayer money. Basically, it'll be like a massive government shutdown that takes up her whole first term. And then, the other thing, Clintons don't leave office when they get impeached.
Yeah.
There's precedent to that. The office, the presidency, used to be such a respected position that just the threat of impeachment makes you leave. You go, okay, I don't want to get impeached. That's the worst thing that can happen. Bye-bye. That's what Nixon did. And when Clinton lied under oath, which was a big no-no, to everyone who thinks that Clinton was honest about his sexual dalliances, he wasn't. He lied about them. That was why he got impeached. It was kind of a big deal. He lied about his sexual stuff. He tried to say he was an upright, upstanding citizen. It was only in Democrat media outlets that they tried to cover for him and make him out to be this open sexual guy. He lied about his sexuality. He said that he did not have sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky under oath. That was a lie. So whenever somebody says, "Well, he was a horn dog," but at least he was honest about it. He wasn't.
His defense attacked the definition of the word "is." the very word is the first verb. It is the the word to be to exist.
And he didn't know. He didn't know what that word meant.
The first thing we came up with when you're talking about language. You're like, where Kevin? Well, Kevin is there.
Where Kevin? You mean when the moon is full, you turn into a Kevin?
I was trying to avoid using a stereotypically caveman name, so.
Where's Thog? Yes. Okay. And I want to point out too my aggravation with the Hillary and Trump supporters. To all my Hillary and Trump supporter friends, what's wrong with you? This is a democratic republic. This is a democratic republic. Do you know what that means? Do you understand what that means? It means we are not in the Middle Ages. We're not vying for which king we want to rule over us. Oh, I want to live within the castle walls. I mean, that's where you are. Whether you're a Hillary supporter or a Trump supporter, you are living in the Middle Ages. You are saying, oh, I just want to be protected by the rich landowner. Oh, the landowner, he shall protect me. Oh, the queen, she shall protect me. Oh, yes, she is next in line to the queenly throne of the Clinton family. Oh, I need her to protect me. Or if you're a Trumpster, I need the one with the most land. Which one owns the most land? That's the king that I want to follow. I just want to be part of his Hamlet. I want to live in his home lieu, inside the castle. Sure. Yes.
Here's the thing, though. This is one of the problems of our system. One of the more viable candidates, somebody who actually had bullet points and plans, it was on the Republican side was Bush, but the Republicans were enough, regicidal enough. They didn't want the Bush family to be, in there another third time.
Anti-dynastic. Dynastic.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That was my term there.
That's a better word than regicidal.
Yeah. Well, I think regicide means killing the family. So dynasty is referring just to the family. But,
dynasty. There you go.
Why do you keep saying dynasty? Why do you keep saying side at the end? Side means kill.
Yeah, why not? You killed the dynasty by not having a third. Yes. Yeah.
All right, I see what you mean. Yes, they were dinocidal. Is that a thing? A dinocidal? Sounds like a...
If not, we've invented a word.
It sounds like a Jewish female dinosaur. Dinocidal. Anyway.
Dinocidal.
Dinocidal, you're going to marry a laser wolf. Dinocidal's going to marry a laser wolf. All right. Fiddler on the Roof references, everybody. I bet you weren't expecting that in today's show. All right. Crazy tonight. I'm going bonkers here.
Let me hit you with the news from this week. Well, actually, it's from 2 weeks ago. Kotaku and the Internet lost their collective minds because my old boss kicked a hornet's nest, implying that working 80 hours a week at a video game company was not the same thing as slavery. That's the terms that people were couching this in. And yes, it is kind of, I'm of two minds of this, because I have worked directly for the guy that people are calling literally Hitler. My better term for it, and I like Timothy's name for it. You know, he writes like Lex Luthor. You're kind of working for it. You understand why Lex Luthor and these guys can build henchmen's armies because hey, they're cult of personality guys that make you want to work 80 hours a week with them. And that's the thing is, Lexcorp has great benefits. Yeah, fantastic benefits, good 401k and profit sharing.
All right.
Yeah, the so the baseline is Alex St. John was actually doing a rebuttal, but much like Arminius was doing a rebuttal to Calvinism, or no, Calvin, I can't remember. Sorry, that's an inside baseball reference for Baptists. He was doing a rebuttal to somebody who was calling crunching, basically the game industry, where you're basically working every waking moment to get a game out the door, and how that's horrific for the health and well-being of the people who are doing it, and detrimental to the actual product itself, and how the game industry is moving away from it, although it doesn't seem like it is. It seems like companies like EA are in permanent crunch mode, from what I've heard. So the concept is so Alex wrote from the standard "get off my lawn, you whiny kids" standpoint that it's not slavery to work 80 hours a week, pushing a mouse around and hitting letters on a keyboard. As a matter of fact, in the game industry, there's a lot of waiting. You send up some code, it gets tested, they find the bugs, you fix the bugs. But in the interim time, there's a lot of waiting. And the art guys are waiting on the developers are waiting on everybody to finish the last deliverables they asked for, the project managers are waiting on everybody to finish everything. The IT guys, which I was a part of, are just there waiting for something to break, and then we rush in and fix it. So there's a ton of waiting. So it's not, there's a whole lot of time you're in the office, but there's maybe not necessarily all that time that you're absolutely head down, nose to the grindstone, working. And so I wrote I was going to write a follow-up article kind of defending Alex because everybody lost their minds over Alex's thing. But before I wrote that article, Amelia St. John, Alex St. John's daughter, wrote a just brutal but beautiful thing saying that her dad is wrong about women in the tech industry. Based not on the original article he was replying to, that article, but more about the article he wrote ages ago about how to hire giants in the game industry. And in the how to hire giants in the game industry, he refers to finding, I can't remember what it was. It was like a gold nugget or the unicorn or whatever. It's the undiagnosed autistic person. It's somebody who's going to work like a robot. These are his terms, not mine. Work like a robot and love it. You know, not complain. Be super loyal. And so, you know, that Amelia had fantastic points, none of which I am taking anything away from, but from her perspective, she's, I think, 22, she's female, she is fighting an uphill battle to get into the tech industry, she's already in the tech industry, but she's fighting an uphill battle being in the tech industry, because she is a very, very small minority being female in the tech industry. And so, in Alex's stuff, she was very dismissive, saying, hey, they get, women are great because they have better communication skills than guys. They'll get promoted quickly to management, which works out nicely for, the women, because, hey, yes, you do get respect, you get promoted quickly, but the thing is, that you want as an engineer, male or female, is you want to be respected for your work. And so after reading Amelia's article, I scrapped the original article I had written, and I wrote kind of a yes and article for Amelia's, talking about how, the environment that Alex St. John, aka the Saint, creates in the workplaces he sets up is, yes, it's a lot of hours, but it's a fantastic environment for people who are autistic, who are on the spectrum, and for people who are young and have the capacity to be able to handle the 80-plus hour work weeks. I'm 40 now. I can't imagine pulling that off again. So it felt good to vent into the article. And then, amazingly, I got contacted by Amelia and Alex both, and they both liked the article. So I think I straddled that line between complimenting what Amelia said and defending Alex, saying, you know, what, yes, he writes like Lex Luthor would write, but the points, don't lose the points, and don't automatically assume that the people he's mentioning are being taken advantage of. It sounds like they're being taken advantage of if you read it at first glance, but what he's, I rephrased it in the article. I said, what he's saying is, these people have superpowers. Create an environment where they will feel like they're being rewarded and appreciated, and they'll do great things for you. And so that's a retread. It's putting words in Alex's mouth, of course, because what he said is what he said.
Right. But, well, what he said is definitely horrifying. But I would point out that I've had friends who are diagnosed Asperger's, and they'll be working kind of a menial job and miserable at it. And when you think about it like that, you're like, okay, they're kind of miserable in this job that's forcing them to be out in public and dealing with people all the time, and they'd rather be home playing video games. And I think you might know some people like that too, that might not like interacting with other people, but if they're playing video games, and they'll tell you the inside out, upside down deconstruction of the video game. And it's one of those things. If you love doing something, or if it comes natural to you and you can get paid to do it, that's awesome. So, the guy you might work for might be the devil.
Or
Lex Luthor.
It's a bumper sticker, but it holds true. If you love what you do for a living, you will never work a day in your life. What you do is joy. And so I love what I do. Because I hurt my chest, they brought in a 15-year-old kid that just helped me lift things today. And this kid, super quiet, not super great with dealing with people, but probably neurotypical, which is the PC term for not on the spectrum.
You got a board picking stuff up for you, huh? Maybe you should get Formo to carry a chair around with you sitting in it, and he's like, "Boy, pick up this over here." And then you can have somebody feed you grapes, you lazy.
Hey, look, I had to haul things, and I am crippled. Leave me alone. But
I know. I just wanted to paint you out like that to be a decadent spot from Futurama.
Yeah,
hedonism part.
I rip a rib out of my chest, out of the cartilage in my chest, and I missed a sum total of an hour and a half of work.
Sheesh.
I definitely inherited my family work ethic there, so.
Yeah. I was in a pretty bad car accident a few years back, and I I went to work that the night of the car accident, and it wasn't until like 3 days later I was like, I need to go to the hospital. My boss was like, go! What? Stop going to work!
I think our grandmother and grandfather that are still around, our grandmother got, what was, I think it was 6 stents put in her heart. They're like, by all accounts, she should be dead now. We think death's afraid of her.
Yes. Whatever genetics, the genetics on that side of the family is very strong. And I had a joke, with an acquaintance the other day that had him laughing because I said, because we were talking about the stuff around D.C. There's different stuff that you'll see in D.C., like them deploying. There might be a building shut down in the middle of the night right along Constitution Avenue, and there'll be police just all around it with SWAT vans and all sorts of stuff. And you turn on the news, there's nothing about it. It's something that just happens at 2 a.m. on a, maybe it's a training exercise, maybe it's a terrorist attack being thwarted, you don't know, no one's going to tell you. So yeah, there's stuff like that in D.C., and the one guy was commenting on it and saying, hey, they only tell us like a fraction of the terrorism stuff that's going on, you know. He told me his conspiracy theory that he thought the metro was shut down due to a bomb. There was a full day of metro shutdown, which we reported on earlier this year.
It was actually shut down due to bongs.
420, man. Yeah. Don't do marijuana, kids. You'll get the reefer madness.
You'll overdose like Cheech Marin did.
Yes, that's don't distract me. I'm talking about conspiracy theories. So the guy said that the metro was shut down because he thinks there was a bomb there because they only report so much to us. And I said, you know, even if they did report 100% of all the terrorist stuff going on, you know, it's still only a very small fraction of the cause of death. If they actually reported on the stuff that's really causing death, the news would be really horrifying, since diabetes and slipping in the shower are the number one ways to die, and you know, it would be like, don't go near a kitchen, the sugar is plotting to kill you, but don't run to the bathroom to hide. Find out why, news at 11. Yeah, it would be a very scary report. And then I said, not to mention the specter of genetics. I have genetics pointing an invisible spear at my heart since great grandpa Sully lived to the ripe old age of 34.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's journey. And he wasn't a fat guy.
No. Well, he was much taller than us, though.
Oh, so that's what saves us as being short.
I honestly, there is an advantage to being small, and that is improved cardiovascular. Your heart doesn't have to work as hard to push blood around. So,
I would like to point out once again, not small, unfortunately. I have failed at being small.
I have my ear to the ground on two tech things. Be watching for an update for Android and Apple phones to be coming out very soon. There is murmuring from the security tech community that bad hippity pippity gonna happen. So there are some remote exploits, bad things. Patches.
Okay, so you're saying there is the syphilis bug for Android coming out?
And apparently iPhone, there's a fix coming out for stuff. So yeah, keep your patches up to date on those. I don't have anything concrete from anybody that would say anything on record, but a guy was giving me holy crap Brace for Impact this week, who I trust.
Okay, but I just want to know, Tech, if I'm on Vine and a picture of Hot for Words messages me with a link that says 20 things you need to know about co-ed showers, should I not click on that?
I would say no. I would say no. I think have we made it from Friday to today without any new celebrities that we like dying? That's worth noting.
Yeah, it's been a rough week. You know what also is the most troubling is whenever a really famous person dies, but then a more famous person also dies, and so you don't have, like, Farrah Fawcett, for God's sakes. Remember that?
Yeah,
do you remember when Farrah Fawcett died? No, you don't? Yeah, because Michael Jackson died on the same day. It's just Farrah Fawcett died, Michael Jackson died.
The guy who is responsible for the internet existing died on the same day as the Apple founder Steve Jobs. So, yeah, don't die on the day that somebody else in your same field who's much more famous than you dies.
Wow. Yeah, that's sad. Oh, man.
Because you'll live your regret to... Oh. Any other news hanging out there? This week, ever since Prince died, we've had a rash of viruses because people click on all those links and go, Prince autopsy photos, click here. So I've been battling viruses and running out the field.
I think you need to know about COVID showers and Prince.
Exactly. The thing I was ranting about, I love what I do for a living. I had that 15-year-old kid going around, and, I know everybody's name at all these places that I go to work on their computers. They know me. And they're all like, you saved the day. You're my hero. And I'm like, okay, I may not be carrying people out of burning buildings, but for that person who has four people in line staring at them, trying to check out at the doctor's office, I have really made her day better. I've not saved her life, but I've decreased the amount of suffering in the world for a good 12 hours. It may not be the most rewarding, best job on the planet, but hey, I at least helped those people. So. That was where I was going with that. But sorry, I've been out of the news. Has anything outside of the game industry happened since Prince died?
We've got still ISIS rummaging around in the northern part of the Middle East. What else? We've got the elections in the Philippines.
That's tomorrow. Goodness.
What was that?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry to our Filipino listeners, I blanked on that for a second. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day. Today is May the 4th be with you, and if you're Catholic, and to you as well.
And also to you.
And also to you.
Yeah.
I flipped the line.
Yes, I think they don't say that now. They say, and with your spirit, that's what they say.
Oh,
that's right. That's right. Somebody married a Catholic. All right. all right. Other news going on. I don't know. I've been so kind of in a funk today, kind of out of it. I do want to do a follow Friday for some of my friends in DC who do good work. Let's just do a happy thing. Let's just talk about stuff that makes us happy. Let's do that. One of the things that makes me happy, this is gone in D.C., one of the things that really cheers me up is volunteering. And recently, I've been volunteering with Young Professionals of D.C. Now, they do not endorse anything that I say on this podcast. I would like to clarify that real quick. I don't think they even listened to the podcast. If they did, they probably would. They probably would
not volunteer.
Exactly.
We don't need help from your kind around here.
Exactly. They're really awesome people. All the money that they raise at events goes straight to Parkinson's research.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know. If any of our listeners have family members that have been dealing with Parkinson's, it's really hard to watch because you want to help out a person that has it, but you don't want to stigmatize them because, you know, they're still very functional people. They just have that issue.
There's no cognitive drop. There's a physical drop. Painful to watch.
And the best thing you can do, instead of stigmatizing them and saying, "Oh, let me help you," and treating them like a handicap, one of the best things you can do is help try to research for a cure and find events. So I want to put a link to my local YPDC Twitter feed. I noticed that today doesn't have a lot of followers, so I want to make sure we share it out there. So if people, especially people in the D.C. area, follow that Twitter feed, because I know these guys have great events. They're a lot of fun. It's a great networking thing, so we should definitely promote a little bit. And
very cool. The thing I like is, you know, I find technology, I think, is technology itself is liberating and uplifting for people in third world countries to be able to.
Right. Last thing I heard you say was third world countries.
Technology that can enable people to work with low power devices, things that can be powered off of solar or off of hand cranking. So that's where I've been working on Raspberry Pis for ages. And then there's a lot of amazing devices that are even lower power. We're right on the cusp of the completely where computers are tiny and completely capable. They are air cooled. You don't need fans running on them, and so you've got a device that runs on 5 volts that you can have a completely functional computer on, and what that's going to allow classrooms to do is educate kids to learn coding, to learn writing, to learn grammar, to learn everything that you can teach, every modality you can teach with a computer, and multiple languages, because things like the Khan Academy and Duolingo, all of those all work on the Raspberry Pi. Some of these other low power, tiny little mini computers. So I think we're on the cusp of the low power, processing, compute power, computing revolution. And it's going to make people write tighter, smaller code once again. Programmers have been able to get lazy, because they've had all the memory and the processing in the world to work with. But, being able to write small again is going to improve the capabilities and the quality of the programmers out there. So that's what I've been working with recently is Raspberry Pi, and there's the Raspberry Pi Foundation, which is the educational wing of that. And then going back to the medical stuff, last year, actually three times now as the podcast, we've donated to the Games Done Quick, which donates to Medicine Sans Frontières, or whatever, I'm murdering that, the Doctors Without Borders. And the other charity they give to is the Prevent Cancer Foundation, which looks into all the ways to prevent cancer and spends money towards researching for cures.
Yeah, cancer's a jerk. I'm glad they're beating it up.
So yeah, that's the Prevent Cancer Foundation is the other one. So I get their newsletter and it's neat to read their stuff. So
awesome. All right. Well, I think we've saved the world. We're gonna count this as a win. We won.
Very good. We'll wrap it up and we'll definitely have a follow up on Friday. I'll actually be available midday. I'll be on the road for almost 3 hours of driving, so
okay.
Talk to you then.
I just wanna say I'm gonna try to have another Secret Society podcast out by the end of the week. So hopefully another nice little interview and get something up there for you. I want to focus on the Knights of Pythias. And we will be possibly getting an interview with somebody from the OTO by the end of the month. So hopefully if I can do this once a week, we'll actually have an OTO person on here to explain what the Internet's about, because the Internet's kind of all over them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all there. All right.
We're just kind of like, hey, can we talk to you in person? Because the Internet tells us a lot of stuff. All right.
Exactly.
So we'll try to suss this one out. All right, bro. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Keep talking it out. Bye.
Call us at 856-677-8559. Show complete. The code for Game of Thrones is 6D2CG minus 6 3 7 W. Z 3 2 5 XT.